Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
In the aughts and 2010s, there was no better place to be making indie rock music than Montreal's Mile End. And to kick off our new Sense of Place Montreal series, we'll talk to someone who was there. Jasmine White Gloves founded the band No Joy in 2009 in a buzzing scene alongside artists like Grimes and Mac DeMarco. And she talks about what makes Montreal such an exciting place for making music.
I think Montreal just always had a reputation for being really artistic and really kind of coming out of nowhere, like not really following trends, starting trends.
That also might have something to do with Montreal's unique heritage.
The French like when you go a little crazy with music. They're open to it. The European influence, they're like more open to different styles maybe.
No Joy. For a Sense of Place, Montreal, today. I'm Raina Duras, and this is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. Authorities have arrested the man who escaped from custody 2 weeks ago at the Northeast Regional Correction Center in Saginaw. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office reported 40-year-old Michael Todd Hart was found inside a residence in Cohasset on Tuesday morning. Law enforcement executed a search warrant after learning of Hart's whereabouts. Hart had escaped custody on September 23rd, and authorities said they believed he would be headed to the Iron Range, where he has friends and associates. A 29-year-old woman was also placed under arrest for aiding an offender. Hart and the woman were transported to the Itasca County Jail pending arraignment for new charges. Members of the Minnesota State Senate made a quick stop at Brainerd Public Utilities on Wednesday as part of a bonding tour of northeastern Minnesota. Brainerd City officials pitched three projects they are hoping to help fund with state money. The biggest ask is for $28 million, or about half the cost of a new water treatment facility. The facility would mitigate copper corrosion throughout the distribution system, which is currently above the federal drinking water standard. Mayor Dave Bedeau notes that without the funding, residents' water bills could increase from about $40 a month on average to nearly $70. He says the projected costs for the new facility have risen substantially.
We're not concerned about the people that can pay for it. We're concerned about the people that can't pay for it. The single mothers that are on a limited income, or the grandmothers or elderly that have a fixed income.
Senators Karen Housley, Sandy Pappas, and Ann Johnson Stewart are members of the Capital Investment Committee. Pappas asked about whether a sales tax paid for not only by residents but also visitors to the tourist area could help. But a local sales tax is already in place in Brainerd, and it pays down the debt the city took on for its wastewater facility. Pappas offered officials a reality check on the $28 million price tag.
I mean, our bonding bills are pretty restricted, and there's so many needs. In these communities, all this stuff's aging at the same time.
Bedeau also shared information on two smaller projects: the expansion of the Cuyuna Lake State Trail and a pedestrian bridge over a busy part of Highway 210. The senators and staff then loaded the bus for their next stops in Floodwood, then Grand Rapids, Keewatin, Hibbing, and Ely. The tour continues Thursday along the North Shore. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison was in Bemidji on Tuesday night for a community forum. Larissa Donovan was there and has more.
Ellison began the forum going over some recent actions his office has taken on a federal level. He says ever since President Donald Trump took office, he has been taking the administration to court over issues like the executive order purporting to end birthright citizenship, tariffs, and data privacy. He says his office has helped facilitate the movement of $2 billion in federal funds to Minnesota after funding freezes, and that he is committed to protecting the rights of all Minnesotans, regardless of race or gender identity.
It is simply because I don't like bullies, and I don't like scapegoats, and I believe in liberty and justice for all, and all means all.
30 people gathered in the Chapel of United Methodist for the forum, asking about how the office is responding to the National Guard being federalized in American cities, ICE agents conducting mass raids, and more. Beltrami County Historical Society Executive Director Emily Thabes spoke to the federal funding cuts proposed to the Institute of Museum and Library Services.
Institutions depend on MLS for funding of digitization projects, education programming, and in some cases, operations.
The proposed federal cuts compound with local funding woes, as the local museum is also expecting to lose all of its funding from Beltrami County in 2026. Ellison will host another community forum in Brainerd on October 27th. Larissa Donovan, KAXE News.
A webinar series aims to support woodland owners and forestry professionals as they respond to the summer storm damage in the Bemidji area. The series is hosted by the DNR in partnership with the Minnesota Forestry Association. The first webinar is 4 to 5:30 p.m. Monday. Presenters include DNR Forest Health Specialist Megan O'Neill, who will discuss common pests and diseases, and Potlatch Forester Brian Bignall, who will give a forest industry perspective on the blowdown. Visit KAXE.org for more information. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. 15 years ago, Jasmine Whiteglaze was getting ready to play with her band, No Joy, in Montreal's Mile End.
I feel like Saint Laurent, the street Saint Laurent, was the main hub. Indie Sleaze, you were like further down. You were like Pine Avenue and Saint Laurent. But this zone was like, when No Joy started out, our first show was right there. It was at Casa. And this was like kind of it.
That's Casa del Popolo, a tiny venue where some of the city's most famous musical exports have performed. And on this day, November 27th, 2010, the lineup at Casa was pretty stacked.
First of four Grimes.
First of four?
Yeah. Then Mets. Then I don't remember. Then it was us. We headlined. So Grimes, Mets, No Joy at 100 cap. And Grimes made the poster. And it was blown out. It was like, obviously it was an amazing show, but we also like, we just didn't know what we were doing. We were just like, yeah, we'll just do a show.
No Joy was part of a new wave of DIY musicians creating buzz for Montreal in the early 2000s. For our Sense of Place Montreal series, Jasmine and I sat down in Parc La Haye, just across from Casa del Popolo, to get a glimpse at how the city's music scene was changing in the new millennium.
Everything was just so new. Like, it was so exciting, and it was just like, just getting to see bands in such a cool place, and there was just like an energy, I guess, happening in the city at that time. But also I was like young and wide-eyed and like, wow.
In the aughts and into the 2010s, acts like the Unicorns, Grimes, Mac DeMarco, and Wolf Parade were making their mark on Montreal's musical lineage.
It was pretty crazy around that. I remember like going to shows and like seeing these bands and seeing them, and it was normal, but then there would be like the New York Times doing an article about, and like a photo shoot, and we're like, what is everybody talking about? It just seemed like, I don't know, you go see the Unicorns or you go see, yeah, Wolf Parade, and it's just, they're just bands that you see all the time, but then something was happening for sure. But I think Montreal just always had a reputation for being really artistic and really kind of coming out of nowhere, like not really following trends, starting trends.
At this point, Jasmine was already performing across Canada and the U.S. under the name Bad Flirt. What started as a solo project grew, and Jasmine met her future No Joy bandmate, Laura Lloyd. In 2009, Bad Flirt disbanded, so Jasmine left her day job and decamped to Los Angeles.
I was alone there, and I ended up going to The Smell and, like, seeing Best Coast and, meeting people and going to shows and, like, kind of getting a better idea of another music scene that wasn't Montreal.
Jasmine and Laura kept in touch. and they started experimenting and writing songs long distance, all while Jasmine was taking in the buzzing scene in LA, which included scrappy DIY venues like The Smell.
But I remember like asking my friend to come with me to a show at The Smell, and he's like, he had never heard of it, and he was like, it's in Skid Row. I was like, yeah, but it's really cool. It's all ages and like really amazing. And I had heard like so much stuff about No Age, and I was a big fan of like Buddyhead also at that time. So I just wanted to see like Silver Lake Lounge and see all these places I'd heard about. So when I'm with you.
After her stint in LA, Jasmine carried all that inspiration and experience back to Montreal, and she didn't give her excitement any time to fade. She and Laura decided to make No Joy happen, to just do it.
I think the moment for me was actually I was coming back from LA, and we were like, let's book a show, but we had two songs. Like, we were like, why are we playing? I don't know why we decided we need to play a show. We had two songs, but I emailed Blue Skies Turn Black, which is the promoter here, and said, can I open for Grant Hart from Husker Du at Kazza? And they were like, sure.
You might think it sounds crazy to book a show opening for one of your heroes when you only have two songs, but they did it. And it worked. The show was a success. They crushed. And that sealed the deal. No Joy was going to be the number one priority.
I don't recommend you like quitting your job after playing one good show, but there was something just performing those songs live and the reaction we got just from playing those two songs that I personally felt like, and I think everybody in the band at that time felt like, okay, I think we should try and do this a bit more.
And so they did what they'd done before. They went directly to a band they admired.
But we asked to open for Best Coast at that show, and it was the era where like Twitter was very influential, and Bethany tweeted, and it was coincided. We had a MySpace, and we had a MySpace message that we hadn't seen from Keith from X and Summer, who had heard our two songs and was like, I want to put this out on a 7-inch. So between him messaging us and then her tweeting about us, I believe after she tweeted about us, Gorilla versus Bear posted our songs. And then it was just from there, we just kind of like kept going.
Even as they got more successful, No Joy stayed true to their underground roots.
There was a lot of like music industry stuff in the 2000s where you needed to like take press photos and like look a certain way. And it was a lot of image. And I felt like when we started, we really wanted to do like anti-image. So we didn't have any, our press photos, we like hid our faces and stuff. And DIY was sort of a response to that too, just to like not play into what you're supposed to do when you're putting out music according to the industry.
It was an exciting time to be an artist in Montreal. And part of what helped artists flourish there was something very simple, something that has undergirded pretty much every big arts and music scene across history. Cheap rent.
I feel like everybody was super creative, and it didn't feel like there were really limits. And there was certainly not a lot of financial limits. Like, it was a way cheaper time to be in the city. So you could have a loft that you lived in, but you also like had shows or you threw events. And I feel like they still exist, but there used to be way more than there are now. And there's something very familiar and reassuring about something that is very steady and is never going to change, which allows you to be a little bit more experimental in what you do because you know the city's always going to be there. There's things that are always going to be there for you. and it's just like, maybe it's the French. The French like when you go a little crazy with music. They're open to it. The European influence, they're like more open to different styles maybe.
And when No Joy was coming up, it was also before streaming really took hold.
It was right at an era where like music was still considered a physical media, and that it was something you were expected to buy if you liked it. It wasn't just something that flowed from the Wi-Fi. But now it's different, and I feel like some artists maybe create with that in mind, which is not, I don't think it's a great thing. Maybe the medium is the message, I don't know, but I feel like creating things for the way, like you have to master things a certain way because they're on streaming versus vinyl, and you have, you know, having more ways to listen to music is great, but I think now it's not expected that you need to, like, own it.
But just like the rest of the world, in time, Mile End changed. And so did No Joy. It's a solo project now. And Jasmine lives outside of the city in a more rural area.
I got rent-evicted. We got kicked out of our apartment, and we were kind of debating, like, rent was going up, and we were just like, do we pay for a, you know, expensive apartment, or do we kind of look and see? And it was, unfortunately, it was during the pandemic, so I was often just, like, driving places to go for a walk. I was just, like, going anywhere to find nature. Because as beautiful as this park is, for a while, you got sick of walking around in Mile End, Montreal. So I had driven to this town that we now live in, and it was so beautiful that my husband was like, well, just find us a house.
Being close to nature was a welcome change for Jasmine. Nature was a big inspiration for her latest No Joy album, Bugland. And there was also the surprising upside that came with her frequent drives back into the city.
Often, yeah, to come to downtown Montreal, I have to drive an hour, so I'm just listening to CDs, and it brings back, like, listening to music as a record, as opposed to streaming where you're listening to songs or playlists. I have the CDs, so I really do listen front to back records, and then I started noticing records that I would like, that I would want to listen to over and over and over again. You know, like, you're driving home and you're almost home, but, like, the record has, like, two more songs and you want to finish the record, so you, like, take the long way home.
Yeah. What were you listening to? What are the big ones for this record?
The big ones on this record, I would say Buku Fish by Underworld was a big one. It was like the right amount of, like, chill, but then also, like, so turbo techno when I'm on the highway, just like pedal to the metal, like, woo!
While Mile End now feels different from Mile End back in the 2010s, in a way, Jasmine has maintained some of its energy by listening to those CDs, by slowing things down, by not having to worry so much about complaints from close-by neighbors and being too loud. And all of those things were important in the making of Bugland.
I was able to make noise. Because in my house, group makes some noise in the little home studio. But I was just mostly, like, paying attention to more stuff. There was less distractions. So I was really just, like, rolling around in the grass, like, looking at flowers and stuff. Because there wasn't so much else to do. It, like, you're here, I can walk around and go to meet people on the street. There's a lot happening, whereas where I am now, it's, like, pretty slow. But I like the slow, and I like the quiet, and I like looking at trees and, like, seeing all the different shapes, and that sort of, like, made me think, like, what if I made a sound that looked the way, like, that bird flying into the tree sounds? Like, how can I capture the sound of that and go from there?
How does your sort of DIY ethos still make its way into your work and your sort of way of making it?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I always kind of just do what I want to do. I don't know, DIY will never die in Montreal.
It might just move to a different neighborhood. Thank you again to Jasmine White Gloves of No Joy and to World Cafe producer Miguel Perez. No Joy's latest album, Bugland, is out now. I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard the first Sense of Place Montreal piece with No Joy. I am so thrilled for you to hear the rest of this series. We also explore the history of jazz in Montreal, the underground dance scene a bit. And of course, there will be lots of Leonard Cohen. So make sure you don't miss any. Make sure you are subscribed to the World Cafe podcast. Search World Cafe wherever you get your podcasts. Here's an artist who's originally from Edmonton, Alberta, but moved to Montreal and was making music in Mile End around the same time as No Joy. It's where he really found his sound. Mac DeMarco, On the Level. You're listening to World Cafe.
We'll be right back. sky, dreaming on the other life. Dust to dust, what becomes of us? Will I ever be man enough to be the woman that she was in life? And she knew she was gonna die. Lucy won't fight, she knows she's right. She says she wanted one more jam with us tonight. And I'll tell you everything I ever learned about life is that Lucy's the best and Lucy's right. On fire, Lucy's gonna take this where to where. And I'm dancing with an angel and I'm crying. It's painful, 'cause the dream that she's made for will live on.
Lucy from Mount Joy. Coming up, a band who are maybe inspired by The Simpsons? Maybe? Next on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. It's World Cafe. Chicago band Rat Boys are back with their first new song since their breakout 2023 album, The Window. And you'll hear that song in 1 second. But first, I got to get this out of my system, because whenever I hear the name Rat Boys, I think of this scene from The Simpsons.
Oh, Marge, my loyal wife. Of course not. And Lisa, my little princess. And who could forget dear Rat Boy?
Rat Boy, I resent that.
Is that where they got their name? I don't know, but I'd like to believe that it is. Here's Rat Boys, Light Night Mountains, All That.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. crushed and dying in the dirt. We tried to pick up the pieces and get away without getting hurt. But they caught us at the state line, burned our cars and it left us running, burned and blind, chasing something in the night.
Something in the Night. That is Bruce Springsteen as we come up to the end of this hour of World Cafe. Thank you again to Jasmine Whiteglaz of No Joy for being our Sense of Place Montreal guest today. Also, thank you to World Cafe producer Miguel Perez for his work on that session. And of course, thank you to the Wincote Foundation for making Sense of Place possible. You can find all of our Sense of Place Montreal pieces at worldcafe.org. Subscribe to the World Cafe podcast and you'll be automatically updated with them. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by Lilly Endowment, a private foundation supporting NPR's coverage of religion and spirituality, and by the Wallace Foundation, an independent nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Question for you. Would you rather fight 100 geese-sized horses or one horse-sized geese? Think about that while you listen to this new one from Geese called 100 Horses.
Now